was. She was just, but as I said, she just, because she had that way about her that there was no illusion, there was no falseness, it was just Charlotte, and that was Charlotte.
And if they didn't like it.
If you didn't like it, good luck.
Yeah. That's like nobody's watching was always the kind of way that she, you know, it's just.
It's brilliant.
Do your own thing.
Shem's just to say, I worry about her working in a laboratory. She'd blow the whole place to bits.
Welcome to The Gab. This is episode 17. And I'm Ronan Lardner. Thank you for the click and the download. And whether you got us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you're very welcome. Charlotte Sweeney was a young woman who embraced life, loved new challenges, and had a heart of gold. A metastatic breast cancer diagnosis may have put an obstacle in her way, but her zest for life kept her going in the face of adversity. Sadly, she was taken from her family and friends in December of last year. As a keen scientist, she explored her own illness, and now in her memory, her family and friends wish to continue her legacy with Charlotte's vision. I sat with her mom, Virgie, and two close friends, Michelle and Caroline, for a chat and to talk about the upcoming New Year's Eve ball at the Ardrey House Hotel in Tuam, in memory of Charlotte. Everyone, you're very welcome to the Ardrey House Hotel here in Tuam, just here in the foyer. And a huge thank you to Tom McHugh and all the crew as well for inviting us in here for this wonderful chat. We're going to be talking about Charlotte's Vision, a charity that has been set up here over the last couple of months. People may have seen pictures on social media and in the papers about it over the last little while. But there's a wonderful ball happening on New Year's Eve here in the Ardrey House Hotel that we're going to talk about. But most importantly, I think we need to talk about the charity and Breast Cancer Research Institute, and exactly what type of breast cancer that Charlotte had. We're going to have a little chat about that over the next little while. But I'd like to invite and thank the three ladies that are here with us today. Of course, Virgie Sweeney, who is Charlotte's mom. You're very, very welcome. Michelle Skelton is here as well, a great friend of Charlotte over the years. And over here on my right-hand side, I have Caroline Downey. She's wearing two hats today. Obviously, first, as a great friend of Charlotte, and number two, as Carried Away PR as well, who was very involved in the whole thing, and of course, committee member and everything else for the charity that's at hand. I want to start, of course, with Mammy, because it's all about a wonderful lady that has, I suppose, we've all met Charlotte over the years, and we went to school with her. But I want to know, and lots of people want to know, what was she like as a young lady at home? She was born, I think, if I'm not really mistaken, back in 80.
She was born 3rd of January 1980.
Okay.
And live wire, from the very first day she arrived, was walking around the house at 9 months old, was always on the go, always on the go. Went to the presentation national school. Then went to the secondary school, and when she left secondary school, she went to college in Galway. Then she decided that she was going to do science, which to me was like, what does she know about science? And amazingly, when she did the thesis for the science, it was on cancer.
There you go. It's amazing.
Which was very surprising, seeing that she ended up with cancer herself. But she worked, graduated, worked in Boston Scientific for 9 years, then took redundancy there and went to Korean University to do another postgrad. Then she worked in CAMAS on the water, CWS.
Water treatment.
So, and then she decided she was going to hit for Australia. And she did, and she absolutely enjoyed every single minute she spent in Australia. Made great friends. She worked for Vaxis, a company that have been brilliant to her, I have to say. And did very well.
Absolutely,
did very well. until 2019. In 2019, she arrived home unexpectedly because I was 75. Helen was riding in the RDS, and it was Denise's 30th wedding anniversary. And we were going to have a great celebration, so we did. And she went back, and she was just a week back when we got word to say she had breast cancer. So I went out straight away in September, and I spent about 6 to 8 weeks out there. Then I came home, and Denise went back for Christmas. She spent her 40th birthday sitting on a chemotherapy chair. And then she had surgery in February, and I went over again, and then COVID hit. So she was on her own over there all that time. Well, not on her own, because she had plenty of friends, but she was on her own.
Yeah.
She had no family. So 2021, the cancer has spread to her liver, and then we knew that was going to be the end. So the oncologist told her she had 6 months to live, so she decided, I'm coming home.
Okay.
Came home, spent 7 weeks at home, passed away on the 16th of the month, December.
Okay, so it's very raw because it's extremely close,
yes,
now as well.
Yes, it's close. It's tomorrow is, yeah, her anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
She died on a Thursday, which is today. And, yes.
And very close to her birthday, too.
Yeah, 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 very close to her birthday, yeah. She would have been 42,
yeah,
on the 3rd of January after she died. And on the 3rd of January, we had a letter from the hospital saying that they were going to start the new treatment.
Okay.
That she had sort of found out about in Australia. But she didn't live to get that treatment.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Now, a lot of people obviously hear of breast cancer, and we all think breast cancer is breast cancer. But we never heard, or I've never heard, of metastatic breast cancer. And is there a relationship between, say, the breast cancer and the liver? Is that some place that it hits straight away?
Not particularly.
No.
It can hit any other part of the body.
Okay.
And because it's a breast cancer that's gone to the other parts of the body, some of the other organs, it's terminal. But if it was liver cancer Charlotte got, she could have had surgery. Same as if metastatic goes to the bowel, if the bowel cancer like Seamus had, you can have surgery. But breast cancer in any other part of the body is terminal.
Wow. Okay.
So that's why there isn't enough research done on the particular one, because there's so much to be done.
Of course, yeah. And I think that's where you step in with the charity as well, because you want to help in that respect as well.
Yeah.
You want to obviously prolong somebody's life.
Yes.
But you also want to get more into the science, if we're thinking of Charlotte here for a second, of it all.
Well, Charlotte had spoken to Caroline about it previously, because on her 40th birthday she ran a 24-hour fundraiser for the cancer. She spoke to Caroline about it, and I think she must have raised about $2,500 on the day, 24 hours. So that made Caroline aware of it. So, and I suppose Charlotte herself would have started doing research on it, but she didn't get the chance. So Caroline picked up the pieces, contacted Charlotte's friends, and that's where we go from.
That's where you go from there. So speaking of Shara's tribe, we have a tribe member here to our left-hand side who we're just going to have a quick chat. Virgie, thank you very much indeed, because that's not easy to speak about your daughter like that. And thank you for taking the time to do that. It takes a lot of strength to do that. So, Michelle, I'm just going to turn to you for a second. Michelle Skelton, I knew her in school as Michelle Wallace, but we're just going to have a quick chat about Charlotte growing up. Obviously, you knew Charlotte from first year.
I did, but I actually met Charlotte way back when we were very small, dancing with Celine Hessian up in the beaten path. We were on a dancing, a six hand, I remember, and we won gold. I was very chuffed with myself. But then when I landed into the Prez in Tuam, we were all in the same class. And I don't know, there's a lovely bond between that gang. Like as Caroline will tell you, you know, we've been friends from the second we went into that first year. We were in Mr. Lillis's English classes together. The photographs, thankfully, there was no social media back at the time, and we could our pan sticks and our green cream and everything. But we were just a very, very lucky group of girls to have found and met each other when we did, because like here we are maybe 25 years later, 27 years later.
Yeah.
And like we mightn't have seen each other for months on end, and there's still people that, you know, are living in Dublin or living in other places. But when we get back together, it's just pure magic. And we always tried to meet every Christmas. There was always a little, you know, show up. And I remember even one year, it was just myself, Cax, and Charlotte and Rosie O'Brien inside in Crane na Cilla in Tuam. But regardless of how many people were there, it was like we were transported back to when we were in secondary school. But Charlotte and I really got more close, I think, after we left school, and when we were in Galway, and she was living in Galway, and the Saturday nights in Munro's were just magic. You know, I stayed with her in Saltail when she was living in Saltail there down by the opticians, and Charlotte had a unique way of bringing lots of different people together. Like, you know, in a group of friends, you always have the soft one, you have the hard one, you have the party one, you have the quiet one, you have the one that you can go to with the issues. Charlotte, and I'm hand on heart, she was all of those in one person. And we are just so lucky to have had her in our lives. Like, it's...
But she was a very, from what I remember of her, she was a very accepting person. She was always a very welcoming person.
Yes.
You kind of always thought you knew her 100% because she always made you feel a part of the group.
And it's funny you say that, Ronan, because even when I'm talking to people at work and people, you know, that wouldn't be in our immediate friends, they would have met her on nights out and they remember her.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, and like, I go out and I meet people and I don't think that I make that impression or I leave that impression on them. But they're like, I remember from my hen, girls that I work with, when they heard that she passed away, and like Charlotte was in Australia for 9 years, so it would, like, I'm married 10-11 years now, and they still remember her, do you know? And that, as you say, it's that was her.
Yeah,
she just had this brilliant capacity to bring people in with her. She was, you felt like you got to know her really, really quickly, and she always remembered you.
Yeah, she did.
You know,
yeah, I do remember that, because obviously you were the Leaving Cert in 97, no more than myself as well. And, yeah, we won't tell our ages. Let people do the subtraction or the addition at home themselves. But the one thing about it is she always stood out as being one of those friendly people that was involved in the group and great crack within the group. And as you said, you know, she remembered everybody because I think she had an interest in people.
Yeah.
She had an interest in you and what you did,
like,
you know.
When you... were in when she was in a gang, she'd go in and she'd light up the room. But when you're in her company, just the two of you, you knew you could tell her anything.
Yeah.
Or you could, and she'd listen. And she'd advise, and you knew that if you didn't want it to go any further, it wouldn't go any further.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, really special to have.
It's special to have friends like that.
Yeah.
It really
is. Yeah.
And even at that, obviously you got through the whole idea of secondary school and over the last while. Obviously you heard the news too, no more than Virgie got the news straight from her. It must have been a dreadful time to hear the news of her breast cancer.
Yeah,
diagnosis.
Like, I remember that time when she came home, the surprise, and Shelley Kincannon drove her down, and I have a picture of herself and Hannah, my little one, walking up Shop Street, holding hands, and that was the trip where she found it, and I keep looking back at it, going, you know,
yeah,
did she know? Or, and even when she was diagnosed and she was sick, she never let us know, I think, how difficult it was for her, because she wanted to shield us from whatever she was going through herself.
Well, from the pain
and
the heartbreak.
And that in itself,
of course,
just shows how much of a caring person she was. Like, we didn't know when she came home that she had 6 months. you know, as her friends, because she didn't want us to be upset for her, you know, and we also didn't want, I suppose, she didn't want us to see her like,
yeah,
you know, as somebody yeah. that wasn't going to be around. But we definitely, like, it's, we thought we had way more time,
yeah.
like every young woman in their 40s.
Well, it's not something that you think
from
of.
This yeah. horrible, horrible disease. And it's just the impact it has on the people around is massive.
Of course it is.
So the more research that can be done, like Charlotte loved science. She was an awful nerd when it came to science. And even, like, we have a photograph of her in the present tomb with the microscope and the long black hair. And it just looks like, I don't know what. But I remember when she was going for her treatment in Australia, she would always talk about the trials and she'd always talk about the research that people were doing. And she was willing to investigate all avenues, like healthy eating, all the alternatives. She just was so open because she understood the science of it. And on another side of it, the fact that she understood the science of it is heartbreaking too, because she knew the challenge that was in front of her.
Of course, she was actually looking at something that was eventually going to be her.
And all she wanted to do was to find something that would help her, but more so help other people, because she knew what the future held for her. And her main aim with her research and finding all the stuff that was going about was that 5-10 years down the line, that this isn't going to impact families the way Charlotte's passing has impacted everybody here. Sorry, I
don't
know.
Yeah, not at all, but she made a massive impression on everybody, and that I know from first hand. I think the other thing, as you said, you know, she may have known before, obviously before she told you that she had it. But she was one of those, come on, let's get on with it.
Yeah,
let's just get on with it. Let's move on.
You know what? Charlotte's kind of philosophy was like, why are we wasting our energy talking about bad things? You know, everything was always positive.
But it
always was so positive. And that takes a huge amount of, you know, it takes a very special person.
It takes a hero.
Yeah.
To do that. It takes a very
brave
person. And
like, it was the pink elephant. Was it the pink elephant research? Thing that she was doing, and like, you're right, she raised so much money, and we are absolutely honoured to be able to continue what she wanted. And like, we're so lucky, like, as we say, we're lovely, there's a nice gang of us, and like, we mightn't all have been friends all the way through, but she has bonded so many people together. We're so lucky to have Caroline, you know, with us, because like, Caroline and Charlotte were best friends, and it must be very hard for you to go through this as well. But like, we'd be lost, wouldn't we? Very, like, without the direction and without the help and support that Caroline has been giving us the last few days. We all want to do this for Charlotte,
of course,
but we need a leader to
you need
to
the guidance on that
through,
of course. But even at that, and I know that I was in the same year as you all, but I do remember that cohort as
the
a
gang.
Group, the gang, but you were always together.
Even my sister and mum, and like, they'd always say, you know, do you know how lucky you are that you're still very good friends with your school friends? And like, there's friends you make for life, and definitely there's 5-10 of us, you know, that we've been so lucky to have that. And like, I know even from experience, other friends that I have, they don't have that connection. And like, it's thanks to our parents, it's thanks to our friends, it's thanks to our school, it's thanks to the environment, but it's thanks to personalities like Charlotte that managed to keep everybody together, connected. Because like, she moved to the other side of the world, and yet she still kept those bonds. And when she moved to the other side of the world, she made an amazing family for herself over there too. Like, they were so good to her when she was going through treatment. And that was nice for Virgie to know that she was being looked after so well. And like, she loved her dogs, and she has her dog Stella and Riley, and Mum and Dad actually have Riley at the minute, her dogs that she brought home from Australia. Like, she had Sketch and Penny. Like, Sketch was just a nightmare in Tunadaily. Going around, all you'd hear is this scratching of his feet running around the place. And Penny was a lunatic, but she had such capacity to love people and always wanted the best for them. And with this research and this charity, you know, if we can move that forward in any way and keep her memory alive, in that sense, I think it's...
And you know it's what's going through my head here now, isn't it amazing how things happen? But even in death, she has the power to bring everybody together.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. But even when she was away, she just had this way of making you feel connected to her. And you mightn't have spoken to her for, like, I know there was a while and where I hadn't spoken to her for a month or two, but she was the other side of the world. But that them kind of things were irrelevant, Charlotte.
Mm.
Do you know, she wasn't the one that would be kind of going, oh, you never ring, you never do this. She was always there for you.
Pick it up from where you dropped off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks
huge
a lot.
Loss, yeah.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thanks a lot for that. Caroline over here, friend and chairperson of the charity group. You've been listening to all of these stories. You know them inside out. And I can see that you're, you know, it's affecting you emotionally as well over there. How are you feeling about the whole thing?
Emotional.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm really excited for the ball. I'm really excited for the charity. Obviously, it brings a lot of mixed emotions as well. As Virgie said, it's first anniversary tomorrow. The ball is only a couple of days before her 43rd birthday.
Mm.
So it's mixed emotions, but I'm proud to stand with Shire's Tribe, with Charlotte's Friends, and bring this charity to life. So I'm proud to be able to do that with the girls and Virgie and Denise, Helen and Declan. But it is very emotional at the moment because it is so raw. It's only a year, and Charlotte did mean so much to all of us. And, you know, as Shelley said, she's been so instrumental in our lives for so many years. And, you know, she's brought us all together. And even when she came home, it'd always be like, okay, I'm home for 2 weeks. What are we doing? I have to meet such and such. I have to meet. So let's do it this night. Let's, you know, so she was just amazing in bringing everybody together. And, you know, when Shelley was saying there, you have a friend that's the happy friend, the friend that you can confide in, the friend that's this. And Charlotte was all of that. And that just really resonated with me, actually, because that was Charlotte. She was that friend. Her friends in Australia put a beautiful book together of photos and memories and kind words and poems about Charlotte. And I remember meeting Virgie after getting the book. And she said, I'm after getting this book. And, oh, my God, she said, I know Charlotte was that person. Because I'm her mom, but does everybody else, I can't believe everybody else thinks that way, like, was she that person? I said, yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Charlotte was and is to me that friend. And I suppose it's hard to speak of somebody in the past tense because she's not was, she is, she's still our friend, and she'll be with us forever in our hearts and through this charity as well.
Yeah, but it's true, Virgie, because in all fairness, I remember quite well in different respects, and it's amazing. She left an impact on all of us as well, on the lads' side of things, of the girls, whether it's the Jarlath lads, at the time we were Jarlaths and the CBS or St. Pat's, and everybody felt the same.
Yeah.
And we can't all be wrong.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We can't all be wrong. She was she was a very, very special girl.
She always had a smile on her face. Oh.
Absolutely.
Always. And no matter what should be talking about, there'd always be a smile. And, you know, as Shelley said as well, you could tell her anything. You could go to her with anything and you'd know it wouldn't go any further. And you didn't have to say it. You'd know you were able to, you know, she was just the most trustworthy person. But I just always remember that smile and looking at photos, just the smile that just would break your heart now. So it would looking back.
Is there anything that pops into your head of a mad old time that you had, something that you did that maybe Virgie didn't know about? Well, no, we won't worry about that too much now, but is there any striking memories that are in your head from growing up that you remember with fond memories?
Charlotte, myself and Charlotte went to Florida together, and we were 3 months in Florida together, and we went to New York first, and we went to see Riverdance, of course, on Broadway, and then we went to Florida, and I'd be all about the tan and Charlotte wouldn't. And I was in Florida, it was like 50 degree heat, and I was putting the tan on my legs.
And Charlotte, as you do.
And we were sharing a room, and Charlotte would just look down at me, she goes, you fool. What are you at with the tan?
Told her that it was. Yeah.
And she would just be laughing at me. She goes, oh my God, you can't bring you anywhere. I'm like, Charlotte, I need to have a tan on. You're in Florida.
Yeah, like, what's the story? It's like bringing an apple to an orchard. Yeah,
oh, stop.
Absolutely.
But we had good times. But yeah, Charlotte was very she was popular as well with the lads. So she was. I think with Charlotte, because she didn't care. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'd be out and you'd be looking, you know, whatever. Anybody looking at me. And Charlotte would be like, what's wrong with you? You know, don't be, you know, whatever. And she'd always the one that get chatted up. And you're standing there going, I'm the one trying to make an impression with my tan here.
But I think her personality drew the guys, as in, you know, she was the girl that you'd love to sit down and have a cup of tea with.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
She was great like that. And she was an extremely pretty lady as well. Let's be honest here. She was a beautiful looking girl.
Yeah.
So all of that definitely helped. But she was a great character and she was lovely. And even at that, I'm sure guys that may have gone out with her, or as I say, stepped out with her time. The thing about it was, not only was she possibly a girlfriend, but she was a friend.
Yeah.
Just like she was T.E. She was a friend.
Yeah.
You know, and they probably confided things in her too, you know.
Absolutely. That's, you know. No, any of the friends or the boyfriends were very lucky to have her.
Absolutely.
So 100%. They were very lucky to have her. And she was just, but as I said, she just, because she had that way about her that there was no illusion, there was no falseness, it was just Charlotte, and that was Charlotte.
And if they didn't like it.
If you didn't like it, good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dance it's like nobody's watching was always the kind of way that she, you know, it's just.
It's brilliant.
Do your own thing.
Do your own
thing.
What a great.
And make no apologies for being.
Exactly.
You know.
What a great way to be.
Yeah.
What a great way to be.
And I can remember as well when she was going to Australia, I remember thinking, you were so brave. You know, she was so brave to do it.
Yeah.
And she just thrived. Like you said, she loved every second of it over there. But she created that for herself, around herself.
Mm.
Do you know, Australia's a lovely country, I'm sure I've never been. But she was able to connect with people.
Well, she had an aura. She had that aura about her.
And even when she was sick and, you know, the Christmas before she came home, and I remember going up to the house to Virgie, and you know, it was bad news, and you know, I was like, okay, I have to get her home. We have to get her home, and you know, so I'm going to say to her, you know, Charlotte, it's time to come home. And I rang her, and I said, Charlotte, you know, your family and your friends are here, and we want to be with you, and we want to look after you. And she said, but you know what? She said, I love you all to bits, but the people over here are looking after me as well. And because she had her family away from home as well, and the friends that she met over there, and that's the type of person she was, because she was part of a family in Australia. And it was tough for us, and especially for Virgie and the family, because you know, they couldn't travel, they couldn't go and see her, they couldn't be with her, and that was hard. And then eventually, when she made the decision, it's time, because she knew it was. You know, she had the news and she knew it was time to come home, and it was just tough, I suppose, not being able to be with her. But at the same time, she gave us the confidence that she was being looked after over there.
Yeah, but it just showed another side of her again, where she didn't want to let people either side of the pond down by leaving.
Yeah, and
because that's how loyal she was. Yeah. She was just loyal.
They have, they're developing a memorial garden for her in Australia.
There you go, Yeah, it tells a story. Tell us a little bit about the Memorial Garden, if you do know a bit about it, Virgie.
The company Charlotte worked for, they're just amazing. They treated her so well, in the sense that they sent her home in first class. They sent home, paid for her furniture to come home, paid for her car to come home, and paid for her dogs to come home. They thought so much of her.
Yeah.
So the last time I was over there, Charlotte said to me, oh, that's going to be our new building, because the company has got so much bigger. And anyway, the building is finished next year. And the company have invited us over because they have set up a memorial garden in her memory. And they want something from Tuam, an emblem from Tuam in the garden, and they're going to have a mindfulness section and flowers. They were asking what was their favourite flower, and we're all invited over next year to see this garden.
That's amazing.
By the company.
That's amazing.
I still can't believe that this is all Charlotte.
Well, I think we can, though.
I just find it so difficult.
Hmm.
like, because yeah. she was at home and she never knew where she put anything.
She didn't care. She was happy out. She was dancing while everybody was watching and she didn't care.
And she went off to Santo Domingo, was it? The Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Doing, working in an orphanage for a month. And she just arrived there and she had the funds in a credit card to use in the orphanage. And she's there about 3 days and she rings up, "Ma'am, I've lost my credit card. Can you forward the money out of the Ulster Bank that I've raised?" I said, "No, I can't. It's not my money. I can't go near it." So we had to transfer money from our own account to her account, and then the Ulster Bank had to transfer. That was Charlotte. Another time she's going to Cuba and she left her handbag full of money in Heathrow Airport. Shems used to say, "I worry about her working in a laboratory. She'd blow the whole place to bits."
But she was, I suppose, you know, she was carefree. Mm-hmm. She was footloose and fancy free.
Outside her job.
Outside, oh, but I'd say, oh, wow.
Outside,
yeah, yeah.
Obviously, because yeah. she got on very well.
Yeah.
And another thing, talking about her energy and all the rest of it, the year, the Leaving Cert that you mentioned.
97, yeah.
Five Debs she went to. Five Debs. The reason being that, you know, she used to say, they'd say, "Oh, you know, a dress. Oh, don't worry, ma'am, make it. Don't worry about your dress. Or I make, you know," she'd come home to me, "Ma'am, I'm going to a Debs next Friday night." "Okay, right, new dress." So five. Damore, Ennis, College, St. Yeah. Charlotte's, her own,
Pat's,
CBS.
St. Pat's as well, yeah, yeah. yeah. She was at the mall.
She was at the mall, yeah. Because there was no problem with the dress, you see.
I don't know so much was at the dress. I think it's because of who she was. Yeah. And I think that the lads found her quite attractive. And as well as that, they liked her.
I think it was handy because the lads were saying, "Oh, you know, a dress." And she said, no, don't worry. And
no, but it is handy to have mom as a dressmaker. Don't get me wrong. And you are phenomenally brilliant at what you do. Let's just be honest
I'm
with you.
Finished.
Look at whether you are or not, you're still good. Just want to mention very quickly as well about Irish dancing, because that was another, as Michelle alluded to a while ago as well, that was another connection that they had early on. She was dancing up till she was 35 over in Australia.
She was dancing. I surprised her at a Sydney Fesh in Australia. And she's up on the stage at 35 years of age with poodle socks. Poodle socks. And she came down and I said to her, "Please don't ever go up on the stage again. Just retire." So then she became a dancing teacher.
Of course she did. And I'm sure, no doubt, that everybody that crossed her path when it comes to the Irish dance was quite was as affected as we were by
Irish
her as well.
Dance, the dancers did that book that Caroline's talking about. They did a massive album of photographs and each of them wrote an art piece about her.
Yeah.
And the company, her colleagues at work, did the same thing. It's really hard to believe that she was my daughter. Maybe because she was Seamus Sweeney's daughter.
No.
I don't know so much. I think
he was very well.
Yeah. I think you're very, very proud. Behind it all, you're very, very proud there, I'd say.
I'm just wondering, is it real?
I know. I will just take time out for a second to have a chat with Johanna Downs from the Galway Voluntary Fundraising Committee for the National Breast Cancer Research Institute. Johanna, thank you for taking the time to have a chat with me today.
Oh, why wouldn't I, Ron? And delighted to be of any help I possibly can. As you know, breast cancer research, it's the National Breast Cancer Research Institute. This is based, as you know, in the Lamb Institute in the University of Galway. And we are delighted when Caroline Downey approached us to sort of fundraise for Charlotte's vision, especially to fundraise for metastatic breast cancer research. That is the main thing that Caroline wished to be associated with. I set up a meeting with Professor Kern and Caroline Lochnan the chairperson of the Breast Cancer Research Institute to discuss their feelings of what they wanted the money going to. As you know, research is the way to go. Professor Fred Given in 1991, who set up the National Breast Cancer Research Institute, he stated the solution to breast cancer is within our reach. Continued research is imperative to put it within our grasp.
I think the most important thing as well is that, you know, people see research constantly and they're obviously putting financial contributions towards it. But you can vouch, of course, that all that money goes 100% into research and hopefully to a cure or to prolong somebody's life when it comes to breast cancer.
Yes, absolutely. We, in fact, only about 3 weeks ago, we got a tour of the Lamb Institute, of the laboratories there, and the enthusiasm of the doctors and the researchers, it just makes it so worthwhile to be fundraising for them.
Now, I just want to go on to metastatic breast cancer for a second, because excuse my ignorance and many others' ignorance as well. I thought that breast cancer was breast cancer, but I could not believe that there were so many different tangents, if you want to call them, off that. Metastatic, and I know we spoke briefly about this, what is the situation with metastatic breast cancer and how does it evolve or where does it come from?
Unfortunately, it can attack any part of your body. I have a friend at the moment that's waiting for a scan that has got a lump in her sternum. And she has had breast cancer and unfortunately some months ago was diagnosed with a lump in her sternum, right? Okay. So she's had repeat of chemotherapy, then it can go to your liver. It can go anywhere. It's like any other cancers. They can metastasize and that's when it becomes difficult. But research, you know, it just... it's the way to go. We've got to find out where it's, you know, what's causing this, what's it attacking, how do we attack it from, stop it from attacking. When it does attack then, what do we treat it with? Like my own sister was diagnosed 13 years ago with breast cancer and she had a lumpectomy, she had chemotherapy, she had radiotherapy. And I remember she was, when she had all of that, she was put on some tablet. I genuinely can't remember. And when she was on it 5 years, she was told initially, this is 5 years. She went back to the consultant and said, I'm 5 years today. She was all excited. And so I can stop. And he said, I'm sorry, Marianne, but research has shown you've got to stay on it another 5 years. And thanks be to God, 13 years later, she is doing so well.
And that is because of research, obviously, and the importance of research.
Absolutely. We know that research improves the diagnosis for starters, okay? The treatment options. And that's the key, is the treatment options. And the outcomes then for those that develop the disease. You know, like it's 1 in 7 women will be diagnosed, but thank God, you know, the improvement in the treatment, etc., it's making it so much better, you know, that there aren't people, women dying from it as men, you know, like they used to because of research. 3,600 cases diagnosed annually, you know that.
Okay, 3,600?
Mm-hmm, diagnosed annually, and it's set to increase.
Okay, so that's even more importance and more urgency to help in every way we can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal. Now, the other thing about it is, obviously, the secondary cancer as well. When it comes to secondary cancer, is that where it becomes fatal, where it moves to another part of the body?
You know, that is something you can't answer because, say, we had Charlotte with liver.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the liver is, I'd like to swear,
Okay.
The liver is a beggar.
Yeah.
Other parts of the body, if it attacks, you know, you do have a better chance. But it's when it does start moving around, that's when it does become scary. And that's when you have to sort of go back to the drawing board and say, right, how do we do with it? How do we treat this? How can we best, you know, medication for this? What chemo? What radiotherapy? But everything depends. You see, cells will be checked. CAT scans will be done, MRIs will be done. It's a huge, you know, that's not a question that's easy to answer.
Really. Yeah, it's a conundrum in itself. I understand totally where you're coming from that. Now, just getting back very quickly,
Just getting back very quickly to Charlotte's vision, obviously, you know what I mean? You're delighted and I'm sure honoured that they're now under the umbrella, financially contributing towards the research. And the New Year's Eve ball is a very welcomed event down in Tuam as well, in the Ardrey House Hotel.
People of Tuam are amazing people, as Caroline has, you know, has told me, you know, and I know the support she will get there will be phenomenal. And, you know, and I hope to God that they all rally behind Charlotte, because this is for her. But it's not just that for her, because one supporter said to me one day, I support breast cancer research because a woman, it may affect me. Yeah. And most certainly will affect someone I know in my lifetime. So you see, Ronan, this is it, these women mustn't, or not women, men, women supporting Charlotte's vision mustn't just do it for Charlotte. They must do it for themselves and their friends going forward.
Yeah, I suppose that's one very important aspect is cancer touches us all, whether it's personally or whether it's through family or through friends. It has affected us all.
And that is where I would be asking the people to support Charlotte's vision, because it's not, Charlotte unfortunately has died. Mm. And therefore she's there hopefully supporting, up there supporting, but it's for the lady that's down the road. A friend, a cousin, a mother, an aunt, a daughter, a good friend who down the road may be diagnosed with breast cancer, and that this research is being done so that down the road it's one of the ladies or the men can get breast cancer, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We only spoke
male
about
breast
that.
Cancer,
yeah.
is 37 in the year. So and that's what I would be saying to the people that hopefully are going to support Charlotte's vision and the inaugural ball and any other thing that's going forward and any function that's being done for breast cancer. Support it, because going forward, you're supporting yourself.
Yeah. Look at Johanna, I'm going to leave it at that. I wish you the best. I wish you all the positivity in the world, because you're a fantastic volunteer and you're always there to help out with a smile
thank
and a great
you.
Energy
thank
about you.
You
as well. So I just want to say thank you for taking the time to have a chat. We wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and the best of luck with continuing all the work with the research as well. OK?
Yes. I've been working on the Valentine ball coming up myself in February, so I've just
That's
been working
right.
on that this morning.
Busy.
So it's very busy, but I do enjoy giving, and I do enjoy, you know, the committee that I work with, and Professor Kern and the whole team. Sure, they're amazing, and it certainly is worth the visit. You know, I think once a year they do a visit to the lab. And it's worth going seeing what these young researchers are doing for our future.
Fantastic. Johanna, thank you very much indeed for taking the time.
Okie dokie.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good day and happy Christmas to all the listeners out there, etc. Okay,
thank you.
God bless.
And we're back. Thanks a million to Johanna for that. Caroline, you wanted to thank Johanna as well.
Absolutely. No, I wanted to thank Johanna and NBCRI, National Breast Cancer Research Institute, who have been unbelievable in the last number of months. Even before Charlotte came home at all, Johanna, being involved with breast cancer, was instrumental in getting her into Dr. McInkeen, which was amazing. And then when we decided to go with Charlotte's vision and come up with the idea, I approached Johanna to see if NBCRI would be interested in partnering with us, because it's impossible now to set up a charity because of governance and all of that. So myself and Virgie met with them, and thankfully they took us on board, and now we are under the governance of NBCRI. We have their charity number and we're a partner with them now. And for that, it's just phenomenal that we actually can say that we are actually underneath NBCRI. So I want to say a huge thank you to Dr. Michael Kearns, to Caroline Loughnan, to Johanna, and to all the team in Galway.
Yeah, and just I don't want to single anybody out, but Michael Kearns, he's a phenomenal worker. What an advocate. What a man. What he does is phenomenal.
He's just it's astonishing the type of person he is, because he does so much, but he's able to attend so many events as well, in the sense that, you know, to represent NBCRI, how he speaks about them. And myself and Virgie and Denise were in the clinic, and we were saw where the money that we're hopefully will be raising over the next number of years would be going to as well. And Professor Kearns has just been amazing, and listening to him speak about, you know, his passion for breast cancer is just unbelievable. He's an amazing man, what he does in that hospital. And I always say the charity is based in Tuam, the charity NBCRI is out of the Lamb Institute in Galway, but it's global. And any research that'll be done, any research that'll be carried out, it won't just impact the lives of people in Ireland, it'll impact the lives of people worldwide. And that's, for me, so important, that Charlotte's Vision is going to be a global global charity, and Australia, the UK, America, everybody can contribute towards this and go towards the research that is imperative right now for metastatic breast cancer.
Yeah, and I suppose obviously the research of it, and of course to prolong the life of a person with metastatic breast cancer as well, which is most important.
Yeah.
So the night itself, we're here, we're in the foyer, you're going to be here all dressed up on New Year's Eve. Can we tell people about tickets, how they can buy tickets, where they can buy tickets?
Yeah, so the tickets are available in the Ordery here itself, or they can go online. If they go to charlottesvision.ie, the tickets are there. If they would like to donate as well to Charlotte's Vision, they're able to do so on that website as well. It's going to be an amazing night. We have a drinks reception on arrival. We have lots of goodie treats and prizes. Virgie herself has tickets available too. We have Pyramid, the band, playing, which were great. Ben and Tierney is going to be our DJ, which is going to bring us into the early hours of the morning. So it's going to be a really, really special night. It will be emotional. It will be an emotional night, but it is going to be a party, and it's a night to celebrate Charlotte. We welcome anybody to come along on the night. Tickets are €100. It's black tie or formal attire. It's up to yourselves. If you want to rock a tux, we're more than welcome to welcome you in, or if you want to just do a suit as well, everybody's welcome, because it's going to be a party and we're going to do Charlotte proud.
Excellent.
And there'll be a lot of eating and a lot of drinking and a lot of dancing.
Doesn't matter who's watching.
Doesn't matter who's dancing.
How much are the tickets?
Tickets are €100.
Yeah.
So as I said, you can get them here in the R3. Virgie has tickets, and also online as well.
Excellent. Well, look, thanks very much indeed for your time. It's not easy to open up on things like this, and it's very raw, because as you said, tomorrow, this podcast will be going out next week, but we do know that the 16th of December is a very, very difficult day, and will be a difficult day, and of course for her birthday as well, it's not going to be easy as well. So look, at thank you very much indeed to you, Virgie, to Michelle, to Caroline. Thanks a lot. And we wish you the very best of luck with the night itself and with the charity. Don't forget to check out, as you heard there, guys, Charlotte's Vision on the website, and you can buy the tickets here at the Ardrí or from Virgie. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening, and I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a happy and peaceful 2023. Thank you very much indeed for listening to the podcast all year, and we will continue in 2023.